if you call, ask for Cody.
Ask for Cody. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Cody, you are the school resource officer, and school is getting ready to start here in under 2 weeks. I know I went out and did all the school clothes shopping this weekend, but what kind of things do you have to do to get prepared for the upcoming school year as a school resource officer?
So through the summer, we do all of our training and stuff like that, so we get updated on, you know, newer laws or new way of doing things, you know, easier way of doing things. And then as the school year approaches, we, you know, the teachers have to go through annual training, and the other SRO, Lieutenant Jeff Scroggins, and I will sit in on some of those, and sometimes we'll teach a class here and there, and, you know, just training, and more training.
So you are at Van Farr and Community R6, is that right?
Correct.
Correct. Whenever the kids get back into school, do you kind of catch up with them from over the summer? It's probably good to see everybody coming back in.
It is. You know, by the end of the school year, most teachers and staff are ready for school to get over, and, you know, by a couple months down the road, we're ready to start it up again. So anxious to see the kids again.
Well, I hope that you guys have an outstanding school year. I know a lot of folks are looking. I know parents are ready to send some kids back to school. Maybe namely me.
I'm one of them.
You're one of them. Right. Sheriff Oller, you know, we wanted to talk to you a little bit, too. There was a little excitement, is what we call it around here. There was a chase last week that was involved with I believe it was a motorcycle. Just give us a recap of what happened there, if you will.
Well, our canine deputy was, Derek Chisholm, was out up on 19 north of Scott's Corner, Scott's Circle, Scott's Roundabout, whatever people call it these days, and happened to see a motorcycle come through with a driver and a passenger, and wasn't displaying a valid plate, and of course he was going to stop him for the violation that he observed, and they opted not to stop, which... you know, pursuits get kind of weird simply because of you know, some of the risk that's involved. But by statute and by our policy, they have to have supervisory control, and the supervisor has to be, it has to be a supervisor that's not involved in the pursuit. Typically, our patrol division commander takes care of that, but he became involved. My chief deputy was actually out having surgery, so that left me. You know, I monitored it over the radio. Didn't seem like speeds were getting too crazy, and traffic was light. And that's why, you know, I know a lot of people have scanner apps and things like that, and they listen to a lot of the radio traffic. But you know, when you hear a pursuit coming through, you'll usually always hear the deputy or the officer, the trooper, whoever it is, give conditional information as things go along. You know, the speed's now 80 miles an hour, traffic's light. You know, whenever we start hearing crazy things like, you know, well, we're driving in oncoming traffic, we're passing on the shoulder, speed's 120, speed's 130, you know, really crazy stuff, typically that's when we start stopping those. Based on what I heard, I let it go, and it came to a successful end after getting fairly deep into Montgomery County, over like just north of Montgomery City.
So just tell us a little bit more about this, because I'm not sure how it all works. If it starts in Audrain County and then it goes over into Montgomery, will you guys be able to continue on with that pursuit, or do you have to stop at Audrain County lines and turn it over? How does all that work?
As long as it starts, so... The way the statutes in Missouri are written, basically the jurisdiction where it starts maintains the ability to, I'm searching for the right words. So, for instance, you know, even though it went into Montgomery County and there were all kinds of violations committed in Montgomery County, the driver of that motorcycle came back to the Audrain County Jail. Everything pretty much stays with the originating agency, the originating jurisdiction.
You guys would be on that call, and you would be able to continue on with that pursuit, right?
Yes, unless we opt to stop and another agency opts not to stop, which that does happen sometimes. I had kind of decided Montgomery City was probably going to be the cutoff, and if Montgomery and the Highway Patrol wanted to continue, they could. That would be on them, but I had kind of decided once we, you know, past Montgomery City, it was probably time to stop that, just simply because we were getting so far away. But it worked out well the way that it worked out.
No doubt. And Chisholm was not injured in that, as I understand. He was okay, right?
No, he wasn't. I give these guys grief every chance I get. He damaged a fleet vehicle. He did do that. He was in the process of braking, and he was actually already in the process of hitting the brakes to stop because the motorcycle had already come to a stop, and he was at the edge of a cornfield, and where the rainwater had, you know, washed part of that field out, and the grass was real tall. He couldn't see it, and basically the front end just plopped down in this ditch. You know, did a little bit of damage to the plastic on the bumper cover, you know. But all in all, it couldn't have worked out any better because, you know, had he not been in the process of stopping, he'd hit that thing pretty hard.
Chow's okay as well?
The dog's fine. As a matter of fact, I told Derek that, you know, I could probably find another deputy. Good dog's hard to come by, so, you know, not to hurt the dog too bad.
So whenever you guys go through training, are pursuits something that you can emulate or something that you can, you know, do a training for? How do you guys go about training for stuff like that?
It's a lot like most other things. It's really difficult to take something like that and have realistic training because when you're in a training scenario, you don't get the adrenaline. You don't get the tunnel vision. You don't get a lot of the factors that you get when it's real. You know, it's no different than firearms training. You know, we can go out and do firearms training all day, every day. But it's not the same as when bullets are flying back at you. You know, we can make you run a little bit, get your heart rate up and you know, do some things to try to induce some stress, but you know, there's no stress like real stress, and it's really difficult to train realistically. Defensive driving is something that something we train in the academy. All the academies have it, basically, where you go out on a closed course and run, you know, as hard as you can run without like rolling the car over and really doing freaky stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, even driving in a straight line when it's the real thing induces stress that you just can't simulate that. There's nothing you can do to simulate it.
Understand that. Anybody wanting to give Sheriff Aller a call here this morning, 573-581-5500. As far as everything else is going with the Sheriff's Department, last time we talked about calls for service being up a little bit in the Vandalia area. How's everything going as far as that goes?
Well, we're about the same. People ask me all the time, how's it going? It's just, you know, and I tell them all the time, it's just the usual amount of crazy. You know, it's nothing super crazy, but it's the usual amount of it, maybe a little more of it. One of the things that that we do or that I do every year is, we're a member agency. Actually, we're the project agency for the East Central Drug Task Force. And that has been in existence since 2001, so this is year 20. And I just got word last week that the grant that funds that from the Department of Public Safety was approved again for 21-22 fiscal. Well, so the grant year runs on the state cycle, which is July to June, of course, the county budget runs January to December, so it gets a little weird because you got a 6-month offset there, but. I just got word last week that we were funded again at right at $228,000-ish to fund that to fund the drug task force, which you know, those guys, we cover 8 counties, and I think altogether it's 21 agencies, 8 counties and some municipal agencies within those counties, the Highway Patrol, and those guys go out every day and do some solid work. A lot of it you don't hear about. You know, I'll be honest with you, there are some places that that make a media release about every single thing that they do. Yeah, man, if we did that, I'd have to hire 2 people full-time to do nothing but type press releases.
I could help out. I just went school clothes shopping.
I could
use the extra work.
It's those guys stay busy and they go out and hustle and do some pretty good work. And it's there's a lot more goes on than the average person realizes.
I can imagine. And, you know, like you said, the there was a big press release last week about the drug bust here in Mexico. You guys went to that along with Public Safety and East Central Drug Task Force. And I'm sure if you look at the number of arrests that are made in a year, it's probably a pretty good amount.
It is. We have to do, actually, one of the requirements throughout the grant cycle is we have quarterly reports that we have to complete for the Department of Public Safety, and I usually call the task force coordinator and get those numbers, and sometimes they're a little bit surprising, but you know, given the era that we live in and the problems that are that exist today in the world, it's really not surprising. It's you know, my new favorite saying is sometimes I'm shocked, but I'm never surprised.
I bet that's exactly right. One more chance here, folks who want to give Sheriff Aller a call this morning, 573-581-5500. Anything else, big news going on with the Sheriff's Department? Any new vehicles or anything like that going on?
Well, actually, we've got our, we took delivery on our fleet vehicles. We were getting kind of worried. Because we ordered them in January, and typically if you don't have them by September, they normally cancel your order. But we took delivery on ours, I think, 2.5 weeks ago, give or take.
Yeah.
So they're in the process of being upfitted. We have an upfitter that specializes in doing nothing but putting emergency equipment in fire trucks and police cars. And I think we've got, actually, I think today they're due to pick up the first two from the upfitter and take some more down there to be upfitted. So it'll be a process, I would say, probably late August. They should all be ready to hit the road. And then we'll, you know, when those come in, we'll cycle the ones that they're replacing out, which are typically either miled out or they're becoming a maintenance problem or something like that. I mean, we have... we typically run our cars about 6 years, maybe seven, kind of depending. But we've got at least one right now that you know is right at 6 or 7 years old, but it's low mileage. It's only got 80 some odd thousand on it, maybe 90, but it's becoming a maintenance problem. I mean, it's really starting to chew up more money than we think it should. So it's going to go. You know, miles don't necessarily hurt a car, but you know, it depends on the miles. You know, whether they're hard miles or whether they're you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. There's no such thing as an easy mile, I guess. But some of these cars become maintenance problems early in life, and you know, your options are to get rid of it while it's low miles, and you know. Keep another car that maybe has higher miles on it, but you know, when it starts becoming a maintenance issue and you start looking at the money that you're spending on that car, you have to wonder whether or not it's worth keeping it.
Totally understand that. Courts are kind of opening back up, especially here in Audrain County.
Well, I'm going to call time out.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I think I think we took a step backwards last week. Is that right, Cody?
I hadn't heard too much about it, but yeah, I knew they started to move forward, and now they're starting to say, well, maybe not.
A little pause, if you will.
Yeah, I think they moved back to, I think they moved down a phase. Maybe last Wednesday, the Supreme Court put something out. So in-person is still okay, but now masks are back on in the courtroom. And, you know, kind of, you know, the next month or so will probably, you know, they'll watch those numbers and decide whether or not we need to stay where we're at, go backwards or go forward. So it's really a tough time right now. I mean, you don't really know what direction we're headed.
Yeah, it's kind of like I got really relaxed not having the mask on, got vaccinated, and now it's like, okay, well, here's a different variant coming along, and now they're telling you, put those masks back on. It's like, what do you do here? It's almost like coming out of a war zone and then going right back into it.
Right.
So,
yeah, and I don't know, you know, court-wise, we learned a lot of things over the last, you know, 18 months. One of those is that we can get a lot of stuff done virtually. That was something that when it first started, nobody really knew what to expect. You know, we were, the courts were experimenting from, so we always had what we call Polycom, which was something, video service that was available through the office of the state courts administrator. And we always did Polycom. We had the ability to do Polycom from, you know, let's say if somebody was in Department of Corrections and they had a case that they were trying to get adjudicated, you know, they could have that hearing virtually with the inmate in the Department of Corrections and the other side of the video link in the courtroom. And it actually worked. We've had that for years. We've done that for, man, at least a decade.
I started in 2017, the bail division. We had it then, so I knew.
Yeah, I mean, it's been around a long, long time. Yeah. The problem was when you know, COVID came along and the courts wanted to do virtually everything virtually, they started experimenting with things like WebEx, Zoom, you know, things that nobody had really thought about. And they've kind of got that honed down to where it works really well. You know, they figured out how to record those for things that you know, a record has to be preserved for, and it actually works out pretty good.
Makes it easier almost in some ways if you know, because there's some high profile cases that with a lot of stress and a lot of people at the courthouse and sometimes chaos ensues. But I would agree with you that maybe they're probably implement some of those things for good. Who knows?
I would say that court via video is probably something, while it may not remain as prominent as it has been over the last 18 months, I think it's probably something that's never going to go away at this point.
Right.
You know, I think that under the right circumstances, I think that's probably always going to be an option now, where it wasn't always an option before. I think a lot of things that we've developed over the last 18 months, we will see stay, because, you know, it's not necessarily about making life easier on the courts or on the defendant or on the attorneys, but it seems to make things a little more fluid for everybody. You know, in the past, if an attorney had a court date in, I don't know, let's say Warren County, had to be there for some hearing at, you know, 1:30 in the afternoon, and then they had a client that was here in Audrain County that had hearing at 2:00, you know, they just simply couldn't make both of them. Now they can complete their hearing at 1:30 in Warren, run out to their car, jump on their smartphone, and appear virtually for their client up here as well. I mean, it just seems like it's made things it's kind of made things a little more doable.
Mm-hmm.
Because the court system is really busy, and it has been forever. You know, if a person has never gone to the courthouse and sat down and watched a Division I law day, when there's 300 or 400 entries on the docket, I would suggest they do it.
Yeah.
Just simply to be able to wrap their mind around how busy the courts really are. I mean, it's not like you see on TV.
No.
I mean, they are. There are times that our court services guys are at the courthouse till 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, trying to get through a day's worth of docket. The judges are there, the attorneys are there. I mean, everybody's there, and it just takes that long.
Yeah, it's amazing. Cody, I was going to ask you, too, Farber Fun Fest took place over the weekend. Yeah. Everything go pretty good over there?
Yeah, it went okay. We had a decent turnout. A lot of kids on Friday night that we had, because they had the tractor pull and stuff like that, and kids' games on Saturday. And, you know, it started dying down in the afternoon, but all in all, it was a pretty good day.
Good.
Yeah, we got some money, so that's the good thing.
That's awesome. Now, yep. What were you raising money for again?
For Audrain County Shop with a Cop.
Shop with a Cop.
Yep, where we take them shopping for Christmas.
Did you get a total on it by chance, or is it still being calculated?
I haven't yet.
Yep.
My wife is the one that counts all the money. So,
right.
You know, we'll get after her.
Okay.
That way she can count all that.
Right on.
I don't trust myself with too much more money than I have.
I don't trust myself either. So I understand that. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you guys coming in this morning. And another edition of Give Matt Aller a Holler, Audrain County Sheriff Matt Aller, and School Resource Officer with the Audrain County Sheriff's Department, Mr. Cody Burson. Thank you, gentlemen, for your appearance.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.